Hello, and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we trade facts like the dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate those facts, but those ratings truly don't matter. What does matter is we are all hot. My name is Lindsay, and this weekend my friend gave me the sweater that I'm wearing. So I got a sweater as a surprise, and I love it.
A surprise sweater. Mm-hmm. I'm Rachel, and this isn't specifically about me, but I had a friend who received a package and there was just an old t-shirt in it.
What?
And one of her old roommates had just sent her a t-shirt that she used to wear all the time in college and was like, I didn't want to get rid of this, so I thought you might like it. But it's like a 15-year-old t-shirt that's like, she also doesn't have like a good relationship, not like a bad relationship, but she's not like still like close to this person at all. So now just like has this person's old t-shirt and doesn't know what to do with it. It's so weird.
Sounds like pheromone dating. Where they used to like sleep in a t-shirt, then you wrap it in like a sealed bag, and then you send it to the person, and they get like your aroma. Yeah.
It's like how we integrate the cats.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
She's going to show up in New York now any day.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is going to be a Netflix yeah. tomorrow.
Yeah. What it'll be instead of the Tinder swindler, it'll be the
the t-shirt flutter.
The shirt flirt. There we go. I know. I was like the mailer sailor.
The post.
Also, she's a sea captain.
Okay. I'm Chloe. I found out closer to adulthood than childhood that I tie my shoes wrong, or like a left-handed person might.
Oh.
But I just think about it anytime I tie my shoes now. It's just like, this isn't right. But I don't know how to do it any other way.
We look down to Chloe's feet, but there's no ties. No laces present today, so we can't check it out. No, I'm so sad.
Where I'm doing the loop and where I'm grabbing apparently is wrong. Yeah.
All right.
Or I mean, right for me. Right
it ties. It ties them, so you're doing it
if
okay.
They stay done up, I think that's right.
They stay well. It might be me.
Hi, my name is Shem. When I was little, I could never have like cool clothes with like logos or brands on them because I didn't have any money. But then I started doing my childhood bully's math homework for him and would just like do it like on spec and like to what grade you want, what kind of results, how many pages, and we'd just be able to like churn out like that. And in payment he would like give me old clothes, so I had all these like Carcanite jeans and like Stussy like hoodies, and like he had like one New York Yankees like button up top that was like fun. But then like I wore them to school once, and then like immediately Jordana went, is that Aziz's old clothes? And I was like, oh, well, can't wear these anymore. Just really like busted day one.
And I'm Drew. I guess I'm currently training for the LA Marathon, so I ran 20 miles yesterday. And that
Drew, so, whoa! Yeah.
I always feels weird that I talk about it because I'm like, am I bragging? But I'm like, no, that's all I can think about. My
legs. No. You're training for a marathon, and yesterday you basically ran a marathon.
Yeah,
training is so much.
Did you take
it's most of it?
Yeah.
Boy,
the actual run is just like a celebration.
The marathon is once.
Yeah.
One event. Oh,
it's
my God.
It's just 4 months of horrible training.
The training's a marathon. The marathon's a sprint.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. And that's what they need on their t-shirts this year. Yeah. We are delighted to have our guest on the show. You've already heard from them. They have achy legs. Send them your loving thoughts to help them recover for the next 22-mile run as part of training. He's a comedian, performer, writer. It is Drew Johnson.
Oh my God, I'd like to thank the Academy. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We keep them hidden because we know it'd be overwhelming to have that many people on screen at first, but
the Academy is just in Shem and Lindsay's basement.
Keep them trapped here.
You're
them
up.
Uh-huh.
They're down there watching Being the Ricardos over.
Wow. Totally true. I'm so impressed with your training for a marathon. I've only gone to support people running marathons.
What?
And you have to train for that as well, which people don't
Okay, I feel so bad because my girlfriend has started running recently. That's been like a thing that she's like, and she was like, I'm going to sign up for a race to give myself a goal. So I've been telling everyone she's training for a half marathon. And I was corrected the other day after like telling this group of people, I was like, you want to come watch Kara's half marathon with me? She was like, Rachel, it's a 5K. And I was like, oh, I feel so bad. Cause like, that's still an accomplishment. But I feel like after I've been hyping up that she's training for a half marathon, she's like, it's a 5K on Governor's Island.
I mean, that's a lot less time for people. And Governor's Island is great. I did a 10K there last year. And like, it's so pretty to run around. So
it'll be a beautiful run.
It's much easier to say yes to go watch a 5K.
You want to come? Sure.
Governor's Island's a great place to do it.
Yeah, I might sign up and do it.
I'm like, am I going to do a 5K?
Yeah. So we're all doing the 5K.
Oh, don't run. You can watch
but
no, drink with me.
We got to get running with these facts.
Yes. Sorry.
Whoa. Chloe, take it away with the first fact.
Yes. I brought two, just in case you guys being Drew and Shem know this, because this is a pun related fact.
Mm-hmm. I feel left out. I'm a big pun. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not one of the pun boys.
Pun boys. Pun boys.
Fine.
I can't wait for the podcast.
The largest and most prestigious pun competition is the O. Henry Pun Off World Championships held in Austin, Texas.
I actually did know this. They teach children literacy through puns.
Oh my gosh. Hmm.
I only know this because I did speech and debate in high school, and we were really into puns, as you can imagine a speech and debate team was, and a girl did her speech on puns, so that's the only reason I know that one. But tell us about it, Chloe.
So there are...
I want to know more about this.
So first, very strict rules, and quote... If the topic is railroads, we're not going to accept anything like, I hope we stay on track. So nothing like that. There are four categories of puns.
No obvious ones.
I don't know.
They want more creative.
Number one, homophonic, which, careful, in which two words sound the same but mean something different. Homographic, two words sound different, spelled the same. Homonymic, both sound and are spelled the same. His example quote, I felt unsettled inside, so I had an evening out. I don't call that a pun. And
and so evening out as in evening out of mood, and also evening leaving the house.
Yeah. But, so track was...
Stay on track. That's much
better. Right.
Well, I was like, track wasn't acceptable because like a track is a track. So he's saying it's not... You're not doing anything different, but like but a track of thought. Okay.
Right.
I guess the last category is a portmanteau, which is a combo of two other words like brunch. The competition itself, and this is my last little, I'll stop rambling. Two competitions are in the competition itself. Mm-hmm. Punniest of show.
And they don't allow track.
Yeah. I was like,
And in that one, competitors perform their own 2-minute routine on any topic they want, cramming in as many puns as they can.
Okay.
Judged on originality, performance, and wit. Mm-hmm. The other competition is called Pun Slingers, which is a rapid fire head to head tournament in which punners exchange wordplay on randomly chosen topics as fast as possible.
Oh.
You get a max of 5 seconds to think of your pun.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Three strikes and you are out.
Yeah, I think 5 seconds.
It feels
like it would go long in the moment.
Right. That's true.
Oh, that's
true. 5 seconds. I don't know. Did you guys ever do Punderdome when it was? Is it still around?
It's still around.
Next one's in March.
Whoa.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
That I did. I like went to do some Punderdomes with Joe, who used to host it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I heard about O. Henry, was because she was like, no, it's not the biggest one. The biggest one is this one.
That's an amazing joke.
There's a Beyond Punderdome.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was honestly like, I love puns, and I think doing, but my brand of puns are the ones that I think they, oh, Henry would exclusively like, say, no, we don't want this.
I feel like these people would be like, not that puns aren't inherently like a bit intellectual, but like in its nature and delivery, they're a little dumb. But I feel like these people would be like, My go-to was going to be a fancy British accent. And I was like,
Go for it.
Can't do it.
Why not? I don't have a fancy British accent. Shem does.
I cannot tell a lie.
It'll just be Shem.
Apparently, do not.
Yeah, actually, I do imagine it being like a room of Shems.
It's going, Natalie Portmanteau.
That was
Portmanteau, Portmanteau. Portmanteau.
Oh, my God. I could count that on my portmanteaus. There we go.
Oh, Henry.
Wow, that's really good. Should we do a quick segment? No. Word generated. No, we don't want to do a quick pun off. Okay.
I think we just did.
I just didn't participate. Okay, I guess.
I feel they.
Okay, you did a good job.
They'll pop up throughout.
Okay. All right. All right.
I mean, that's normal. Chloe, your fact.
Oh God.
I feel is as would be. As hot as the rage of one of the judges if I turned up with just a pun that was about the level of a knock-knock joke.
Oh, thanks. They'd be mad.
They'd be mad.
Furious.
So mad.
Chloe, your fact was as hot as two words that, like, sound the same but are, like, really horny for each other. Like a homonym.
Oh. Yeah.
That was good.
I'll say, Chloe, I think your fact was hotter than the service of the pun. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh! That was so good. Okay, maybe 5 seconds isn't long enough. I'm sweating. It's like all of the puns in my body have just left. It's like...
Why'd you leave me out, Chloe?
It's like, you know, the Brexit. I was trying to make Brexit into pun exit.
You probably want to Brexit this broadcast right now, huh?
Broadcast. I wish you could broadcast into my mind. No, Chloe, that fact is as hot as, okay, high school Rachel's sexual fantasy, which would be like two hot teens telling each other real hot puns and then they do it. Like at the time before I came out, I probably was like into like the nerdiest of like speech boys who would just like come up to you in the hallway and like tell you a pun and then walk away. I'd be like, oh my God, he loves me.
That's hot.
That's really hot.
The nerdiest of speech boys.
Nerdiest of speech boys. Shem, can we have an
exact? God only knows what I'd be without the speech boys. My fact is less a fact and more a thing that almost happened but didn't.
Whoa.
It's about the Cloud 2 luxury residential towers in Seoul. There's this Danish architectural firm that designed these two high-rise towers, and they were like going to build them, but then there were complaints because of the way they looked. And then I'm just going to share my screen. Like so, because they designed them and they look exactly like a monument to 9/11.
Oh, like, oh my gosh. They look like they're exploding.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Oh, why?
Because never forget, Rachel, that's why.
No, I know, but knowing that that wasn't an intentional thing,
so
ew.
So, like, if you look at it, like, too close together, it's like the building that you, the Jenga uh-huh. building that's in, like, Tribeca and yep. also in Jersey, where it's, like, jutting out, so it's aligned. But because they just have all the weird jutting out bits together.
And put plants on it.
And put plants on it from the eye, it just looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like they just got, I mean, I thought it was smoke when I first looked at it.
Yeah.
Coming out of it, but it's just, oh my God. And they're twin towers.
They're twin towers. And I don't want to say this, but they kind of look, this is so dumb. This is me trying to put a pun in here and it's not even funny. They do look like little like bushes. Around there, and I was like, mm-hmm. Bush did not.
Oh, wow. And they're growing from the inside.
Yeah. It was an inside job. Yeah, I feel like I have been exposed to the world of architecture just because I have a friend who's an architect, and my girlfriend is like adjacent in her career to architecture. So they talk about architects all the time, and there are just so many like men with God complexes that are like, I'll make a building look just like insane because I can. And this feels like a great example of like, why did we need to do this?
Well, even your most successful architect is a man saying, let's make a giant penis that like shoots up into the sky. So when that's like your baseline.
Yeah. No, there's like some really, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think it's more than just one man. Like I would imagine that this is like, whenever I watch a commercial that being like, how many people did this have to go through?
Yes.
To be like, Pepsi cures racism.
Yes.
Like this is the same thing where I'm like, how many people had to sign off right. on this without either A, seeing it or B, being like, I thought they knew.
Could they not tell?
Yeah, you're just
in
welcome.
The meeting, they're like, who's going to tell him? Not me.
Yeah, not me. He's a good architect.
Just let him take it to the next round. It's fine.
Like someone will tell him. Someone's
the free coffee.
Yeah.
I'm also curious to know what their like pitch was for this. Like, we've made these two buildings that are, you know, they're just expanding from the middle. Like, I want to know how they...
Pitching any building would be so stupid. So like, this one is very tall. 60th floor, it's going to jut out a bit, then it's going to get skinny again. Yeah. That's it.
Do they pitching buildings? What's the log line of this building?
Yeah.
The building's tall. Things change when it gets on the
60th floor. It's a Lone Ranger downtown.
Well, it's funny because like some of them have like so much intention behind them. Like our friend who is the architect just won this huge competition for like sustainable housing communities, affordable housing communities that are also sustainable in LA, to design like a set of those. And like hearing him describe it and pitch it, I was like, yeah, they like it makes sense. But yes, skyscrapers, really there is not much to it other than big tall boy.
I promise it'll stand.
I promise it won't fall.
Won't fall, yeah. I promise.
What is even stranger to me is like people are designing buildings still which have like huge security flaws and risks in them. Like they just stopped. I can't remember which country it was going to be built in, but they were like, yeah, we can't build this building. I don't know. It was like maybe 40 floors and it had like one stairwell and it would be such a risk for all the humans living in it. And someone went, and I think it was a journalist who called it out, who had like covered the Grenfell Tower in London and was like, you're building the same building. Like, we saw what happened. And they then this just happened in New York with another building. And that is your current design in 2022? Like, no.
I guess there's, like, not many other options when you're, like, insisting on having a huge building. I, like, imagine someone being like, okay, hear me out.
Right.
Slides.
Slides. I would be there for that. I always wanted to do that down the middle bit of, like, escalators. Mm. The bit where, yeah, but they put things on them.
I know this, like...
Oh, I was... Well, I'll just wait.
Say, I know this might make me an enemy of wealthy people, but like truly the appeal, there is no appeal of a high-rise apartment to me. There is truly zero. Not even the slightest.
I would say they're more like environmentally friendly because it's a conservation of space. Like if you have like an area like LA where everyone's like spread out, that's like bad.
That's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
When you stack people on top of each other,
but
in, like, Shum,
I'm scared of heights.
Oh, you can be on the ground floor.
Be up there. Okay.
I never lived in one of those, but I worked in one. I was on the 30th floor. It was the top floor of a building in the financial district, and it was. Were any of you in New York when the earthquake hit in like 2010? Maybe it was like 2011.
No, it's pretty.
There was an earthquake in New York. It was crazy. Like there's never been another earthquake, as far as I'm aware, in New York.
I know. When you said that, I was like, "That's something I have to worry about here."
No, you don't. I don't think you do. I think it was crazy. But when you're on the 20th or the 30th floor of a building, God. That earthquake feels very just like you're. I was like,
"You're what? Swaying." Oh my God, Drew, no, thank you.
I was going to say, like, in the financial district, now there's a whole article about all these buildings that they've half constructed, but then they can't get financing for, or like they have all these like issues and people have their money trapped into them. So all these like giant luxury towers that are just half empty. And you can see one like on the river. It's like a giant, like huge tower sticking up, and then it's just not done. There's like all these exposed like floors up the top because they just ran out of like financing and then stuck in contractual disputes, and they've been like that for years. It's like an incredible, you could like house literally every unhoused person in New York could fit.
I was just thinking easily. That. Mm-hmm. Ah. There, I also feel like that they're, even the ones that aren't even finished with construction, but that are just so expensive that they can't fill.
Yeah.
This feels like an argument I got into with my dad, where I'd be like, why can't we just give all these people homes? I was talking about the cheese caves, which is a fact that we had on the podcast before. There's just caves filled with overproduction of cheese. And I was like, why can't we just give out the cheese? And my dad and I got into a literal argument about it.
Drew looked very taken with that.
Yeah. Cheese caves.
Let me in that.
I'm not kidding you. Like cheese. 1 billion pounds of
there
cheese.
Is so much
cheese. In overproduced wow. cheese.
Yeah.
Anyways, we won't get into that.
I can almost guarantee there's that. A cheese cave near you. Almost guarantee it.
My fridge.
Hey, let me out. What are you doing later? Let me take you out later.
Let me take you out. What you doing?
What kind of cheese you like?
I can take you to a cave. You want a cave?
It's just like a shopping spree, but it's in a cheese cave.
It does feel like
cheese is grabbing like, a cheese.
Yeah. Just wheels.
Honestly, I can't imagine there would be more cheese than the cheese aisle of Costco, which I've now recently come to too much cheese.
You're speaking my language. Yeah. Yeah. My girlfriend won't take me to Wegmans because now there's one in Brooklyn. We have a car. It's her car. I don't drive, but she like will not drive us to Wegmans because she was like, you will get overwhelmed in the cheese aisle and I will leave you there for hours. She's like, this is a bad idea. All right. Speaking of bad ideas, Shem. That
full
fact.
Stop.
No. The building. The building was the bad idea. The building was the bad idea. Shem's a great idea. Shem's full of great ideas. Oh, I love Shem. I'm so sorry, Shem. Shem, that fact is as hot as I imagine the first journalist who broke the story about this. They didn't actually start constructing it though, did they? Dang it. Okay.
People told them it was a bad idea.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to go a different way then. Okay. Okay. It's as hot as the female executive or just non-male executive who finally felt like they had the room to speak up and be like, this is a bad idea. And then finally everyone in the room was like, oh, thank God we can exhale. As hot as they felt after that moment at work, like, you know, they're like, we nailed it. And gotcha. Then they had a girl's night. Okay, bye.
Shem, your fact is as hot as the embarrassment of the person who designed it when people were like, do you see these? And you see this? And they were like,
oh, I did forget.
I did forget.
Shem, your fact is hotter than jet fuel and it can melt steel beams.
Thank you. That was, I've been trying not to say that for 10 minutes.
Thank you, Drew. With that, Shem, your fact is as hot as Ellen DeGeneres gets when people say Bush did 9/11.
And she goes, not my BFF.
Not my best friend. George would never.
But do you know who are our BFFs? Yeah, a few little words from our friends.
Cute.
Wow, we're back. Thanks, friends. I wanted to say it with an F because sometimes I get my T, H's and F's mixed up. Aww. Thanks, friends. Drew, we are coming to you now for your fact.
All right, great. So my fact, I have a... the cat's not here. I have a Siamese cat. A beautiful Siamese cat named Sally Field. Oh. Because she looks just like the cat from Homeward Bound. That's Sally Field voiced. My fact is about Siamese cats, which is a very fascinating thing. That did you know that Siamese cats are actually black cats, but they have a genetic mutation called the Himalayan gene where their fur changes color based on the heat? So that's why... Yeah, so that's why like the paws and the nose and the ears are black, because it needs to be, it needs like, that's like, it needs more heat. Yeah. And where the body is too hot, it gets white because it doesn't need as much heat. So the gene actually changes the color of the Siamese cat in order to get heat where it needs to get heat and reflect heat when it doesn't. So that's why when they come out of the womb, they're very white. It's because inside the cat's uterus, it's very warm, so it doesn't need anything. And then it gets darker. And in the winter, they get darker. And in the summer, they get lighter. It's crazy.
That's magic.
We call Sally our little mood ring.
I was going to say, she's like a little mood ring. Yeah.
Oh, Drew, can I just say one? What? A perfect audience for this fact. Probably the most passionate cat folks around.
Great.
Two. I'm amazed.
Isn't it incredible?
I'm amazed. That is so cute. I also have a black cat, and I'm going to be like, why are you broken? Why can't you change color?
I think one thing that I read about it said that they have like a, it's like not a full albino gene, but they're kind of albino black cats that then have an extra gene that changes fur color. It's crazy. It's insane.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
I wish she was in here.
I know.
I wish she was in here with the hair dry.
Now I just want to talk about Sally Field too. I love Sally Field. I love her. Wow, that is crazy. We learned, I think Lindsay brought in this fact that cats store, or any dogs or cats, or was it Shem? It was Shem, sorry, Shem, store their vitamin D in their fur. So when they lay out in the sun, they're getting vitamins. And when they lick it is when they're actually like ingesting the vitamins,
whoa,
which I think is so cool. But now I'm like, I wonder if her fur has some like special absorbency things.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, she does lick her paws more than everything else, and her paws are black. Yeah.
So they absorb more.
But I don't know. I don't know if anyone can really.
Yeah, I feel like all cats
like lick their side. Like a weird place.
I will say, my cat Mimosa does do that. He sits in the freakiest way and gets his like little sides, because he's an anxious boy, and he'll get little like over grooming patches where he's like licked too much.
Famously ate his own ass on podcast.
I forgot that really great position.
I forgot that happened.
None of us ever will.
When I was filming at home, he likes to sit behind me in camera view and show off.
Did you know it about Siamese cats before you got the cat?
No, like, we just got this cat from the woods of Missouri. It's a rescue from Missouri that Ellen's sister, my wife Ellen, has a sister who works at a second chance kind of like not pound, second chance like adoption, like pet adoption agency. And there was a cat, and she was fostering it, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm about to give it back so that it can find an owner." But she texted us and she was like, "Just so you know, this is the best cat I've ever had. So if you guys want a cat, you should have this cat." And we're like, "Yes." And so we brought it out to New York, and we had it out in New York with us. But then we got really into Siamese cats. I didn't know anything about Siamese cats, but it's kind of like, I think it's like half Siamese, because it looks like a little round boy. It doesn't look like a very like thin, like legal like Siamese. It's like, looks like a little round boy, but it's also, the colors are very Siamese catsy.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
I think my eyes are actually watering right now. I'm not lying. Like, I am so excited about this cat.
I like calling Sally. I call her a bachelor contestant, because she's very beautiful, but she's from the woods of Missouri.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
Well, and my cat, Joan, can be the bachelor. She's really just a white boy with blue eyes.
Yeah, bachelor.
Joan is the bachelor. Mimosa's not gonna be a bachelor.
Mimosa's honestly too diverse.
He's gay. His mother's. All right.
That fact is as hot as when a kitty cat has been on the windowsill soaking up the sun all day.
There we go.
Hot and nutritious.
Thank you
for them.
Yeah.
Drew, that fact is as hot as a fact and an anecdote. When our sons, Mimosa and Joan, recently met for the first time at Mimosa's first sleepover, he stayed at Chloe's apartment and they kissed a little bit. But they, it scared them. They kissed and then it scared them. They were like, I don't know what these feelings are bringing up.
Yeah. First time scary.
Just a bunch of middle school cats.
Yeah. 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 It was great.
Drew, that fact is as hot as, like, I know there will be a Bachelor season that has cats, and your cat's got to be on it. Maybe even the Bachelorette, if she's feeling single and frisky and she wants to search through men, I think she would do great as the Bachelorette.
Yeah. A cat?
Love yeah.
Just imagine them giving them catnip instead of roses. Oh. Like, I don't care. I don't care if I'm through the next round. I got catnip.
Or just giving them the rose and they're refusing to play with it.
Yeah.
Or they're like, don't eat that. Stop. Joan loves flowers.
Drew, that fact, just as hot as a sweltering temperature inside that cat uterus. Like, I'm just sweating up a storm in there.
Speaking of that, there is one like reference that I read. I think it's meant to say 98 and then a degree sign, but it auto corrected it and all this to say like cats start changing black when the skin gets below 980 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm like, there's no way.
Something bad is happening.
1,000 degrees. There's no way.
Oh, no.
My uterus is fire. A furnace.
Yeah.
Terrible. Oh, my God. I forgot my lighter. Use my uterus.
On that note, I'm going to bring in the next little fact. So my fact is that the first rocking chair was invented in 1710, and it was made by putting ice skates on the bottom of a banquet chair. And I kind of was reading,
oh my God.
And around the same time, they also invented like cribs that would rock for children. And I'm like, someone just was like, oh, ice skates. Let me start putting these on things and like making them see what rocked.
The first ever episode of Jackass.
Yeah, I was like a desk chair.
They date back a little earlier than 1710 and like possibly founded in Europe. But the person who is credited with creating the rocking chair is Benjamin Franklin. But other sources say it's like farmers or early cabinet makers. But if you look it up, he is credited with that. And then the biggest man. Rocking chair, when last checked, was 56 feet high. And I was like, that's pretty fun.
Is that like a roadside attraction somewhere?
I'm guessing. I didn't. Okay. I didn't
it was like
to.
A ride.
I want to. But I was like,
full amusement.
It's just.
Park.
It's just for a giant. They just have it in their house. Yeah.
It's the world's sleepiest grandma. It's
just-
yeah.
I imagine that. Like Shaquille O'Neal's using it for like inside the NBA, just a 56-foot rocket.
I saw a decade or whatever when Cribs was on Shaquille O'Neal's bed. Oh my God. It's the biggest bed I've ever seen. It's literally called, I think he called it his Superman bed. And it is buried into my brain because it was like, I think it was a circle, but it was so
of
big.
Course.
And it was big for Shaq. And Shaq is a big man. So imagine how big that bed was.
He had to get that custom built. No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I want to go back to this, the ice skate. So was it four ice skates? Was it like almost like a four-wheel drive?
That's what I'm picturing.
I couldn't find out. I had sort of assumed two, but four maybe makes more sense because just one would not get you rocking that much.
But I'm like, are ice skates bowed enough? Yeah.
Well, I mean...
I'm like, I don't...
From the things I read, like, they put them on a bunch of stuff to be like, this rocks now. And I was like, that is terrifying.
Ice skates scare me, like, as ice skates. Putting them on something else just, like, is not...
Right. And also, like, they glide on ice, but on other surfaces, they're very unfriendly.
Like,
yeah. They caught
I'm terrible at ice skating. I'm terrible at it. One time I went ice skating up in Vermont with my friend, and I was like, the second I was, he was playing pickup hockey, and the second that I was like, I got this, I ate shit so bad. I just like tripped and just like skid all the way across. Like, I don't got this at all.
Yeah. I'm also Rachel scared of ice skating. My mom like just buried it in my brain, which is crazy because she started randomly ice skating for like a year in my childhood. She would just go to the rink and skate.
Wow.
I was like, Mom, what are you doing? But oh, I love she that. Just anytime I was like, Beth. We had Friday night skating in town. That was like one of the things you could do. But it wasn't fun because I would just be like, tuck your thumbs, tuck your thumbs, tuck your thumbs, mm-hmm. tuck your thumbs the whole time.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't want any fingies.
No, when you go down, clinch.
Yep.
Like, who let me go there as a child? I definitely was not coordinated nor responsible enough to like, one, not cut anyone's fingers off. Mm-hmm. Two, not have my own cut off.
And you're a pretty openly anxious child.
No? Thank you so much. I
feel like that's not the first place I would bring my anxious child.
Absolutely. I also come from a family. My grandpa has had fingers cut off twice in his life. Like, I come from a family of losing fingers. Once was when he was a baby, and then once was when he was an 80-year-old man. And he was like, are you kidding me? I've already had this once in my life. It's fine. He's okay.
Yeah.
Did they reattach?
No, he only has his middle finger and his thumb on one hand. So when he waves, it's just like, oh my God. I kind of like it.
Yeah. I love it.
He used to have the pinky, but then a canoe took that off.
Oh, a canoe?
Yeah. Oh, a kayak. I'm sorry. But he had an old metal. No. Canoe. I've been in that canoe after it took the finger off. He had an old metal canoe, and he and my uncle were just carrying it, and it slipped a weird way. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Don't do it.
But his reaction was kind of just like, again?
This is also better for me because I imagined it was like a wooden or a plastic canoe. So now that I know it's metal, it makes a lot more sense because it felt worse before.
I also have like carried that canoe off of my grandpa's truck with him, and he'd always be like, watch your fingers. This is the finger taker.
I imagine the baby fingers got burned off in the white hot uterus. So
like, having a very different journey. Yes.
When you said canoe, I imagined someone was canoeing so fast and like just took off a finger.
No, it didn't even get to the water that time.
It was like fucking hereditary,
but it was the pinky and
yeah, but it was hereditary, but was it canoe? Oh, no. And someone just doing this.
Oh, no.
He's a cool guy.
Anyways.
Lindsay.
Yeah. I need to think of a rating.
Okay.
Okay. Lindsay, your fact is as hot as the ice rink that we would put up in downtown Phoenix every year called Cityscape. As hot as that got, we had to use like special coolants. It was the only outdoor ice rink in Phoenix because it's really hot to keep an ice rink in Phoenix, even in the winter. But it's as hot as Cityscape was.
I love that.
Yeah.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as the 1997 superhero movie Steel, starring Shaq, where he played like a Superman type figure being melted by jet fuel. That's how hot that fact was.
Wow.
My brain misprocessed for a moment and was like, Steel, that's the movie Blue Steel where they do that fun look, right? And I was like, none of this makes sense. Back on track.
It's not a movie, it's a plot point.
Yeah. I was like, he was in that? Okay. Sorry, Drew.
Lindsay, I'm going to say that your fact is as hot as the burning in my calves when I first went ice skating the next day.
Yes, yes.
Walk because no one told me you had to tie him up really tight. And someone was my feet were like clenched the entire time. They were burning. I could not walk on those calves.
My God. Lindsay, your fact is as hot as that moment in a horror movie when our protagonist, probably the wife, is home alone because her husband is traveling for work as they do.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to go get a sweater. And she goes up to her bedroom and the rocking chair is rocking by itself. That hot.
That is. That is hot.
He's trying to make
the slowest rocking chair in the world.
It's going real slow. Because it's resting on one eye scanner.
Slowly slicing through your wooden floor.
Oh, lordy.
Rachel, bring us home with the last one.
Okay. This is like just a really goofy one. And I was really excited that this fact, I found it. That was a great way to say that
phrase. Stage is set.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, so there was a man named Patrick Combs who, I don't know if anyone has received like either the fake credit cards or fake checks in like junk mail, where it could be like, you could be getting big checks like this if you sign up for our blah, 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 blah. So he got one of those.
Fake?
Well, he got one of those in the mail, and this is in the 90s. And he himself was like not doing well financially, and he thought it would give the bank employees a giggle if he tried to deposit it. And through a series of banking errors that just timed up correctly, he had $95,093.35 deposited as a bit, but actually deposited into his bank account, to which he is now a motivational speaker and has like funded an entire career on that money. At the time, he only had $200 in his bank account.
Give it back?
What? They never found out.
No, because legally, basically what happened was the check that they wrote had, it met nine of the criteria. It met all of the nine criteria that are required to constitute a real check. And the front of it had a phrase and it said like non-negotiable or something like that, but it didn't matter. The bank just like processed it, and by the time they realized their mistake, it was past the legal deadline of them having to notify him that his check bounced. So the bank had to provide him that money. So it was the bank that had to provide him. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I honestly think every time that like I hear about this, I'm like, that's life changing. A bank would know that immediately. But then it's like, no, to a bank, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's literally, they're like,
oh, they didn't care?
Yeah, like, they're like, that's fine. Yeah, and it just like was like a series of mistakes that then led to him being able to have that. And now he writes like motivational books about like just putting it out there. But I'm like, what a bit. Wow. To like actually go well.
I love that he also thought this will be fun for the bank staff.
He's like, oh, someone's going to laugh and think like,
I don't have much money. What else am I doing today? All right.
Let's try.
Like, yeah. The article like from his POV was like, oh, they'll be like, what an idiot thinking this is a real check. LOL. But they also processed it as a real check. Yeah. So.
I mean,
so it must have been 3 months, like 4 months. I'm trying to wonder how long it took before the bank realized.
You know, I actually don't know. I do have the article somewhere. But yeah, it was like a long amount of time for them to not notify him about this.
Yeah.
or that they didn't even realize, which is my guess. Check. I exited out of the article.
Because that also feels like the sort of joke where I would do it and the bank would go, this is mail fraud. You were now in prison for 20 years. Like,
just. Also, what's really funny is that the person who wrote this article is describing this guy and he pulled out a shirt in his backpack that had $300 worth of dollar bills just like on it. And I guess he like wore it to some event as like a statement. I don't really know. But he gave anyone money who asked, can I have some money from his shirt? But he just seems like an odd fellow, which I love.
Yeah, weird relationship with money. Like, yeah. I guess if you just get all that free money, you're like, yeah, I'll just give away.
Oh,
why not? It doesn't matter.
Okay, what's also funny is that he's a performer now.
Ugh.
motivational speaker. They're talking about him performing in the San Francisco Fringe Festival. But
oh, he got my spot.
Damn it. His one-man show is called Man One Bank Zero. which I think is really funny. This is an article written in 2003, so I'm not currently roasting his work, but
I would have called it All Checks Out. Like,
oh, that would have been so much better.
Because the banks are up more than zero.
I know, that's what I was like. It's like Man One Bank zero.
Yeah.
Man
One
bank slightly one. Below super profitable.
Bank rounding error.
Yes. But he basically just says he feels like the more playful he is with money, the more he can reach his goal of never feeling bad about it. Because he had a lot of days when he was like feeling insecure about his money, and you know, that set him up for wait, I'm sorry. I've scrolled too far in this article and I just read sex positive and I was like, how is this like tying into he's among San Francisco's sex positive comics.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't Drew, to answer your question, they don't give the amount of time that passed.
That's crazy.
I just love the sex positive comedy scene in San Fran. Anyone can come to this open mic, but you gotta fuck.
Oh, you gotta be happy that other people are fucking.
Yeah, just be positive about it. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Woo, sex.
Good job.
At least just a sex hype, man.
Yeah.
It looks like, Rachel, it looks like truly you froze. Like, I know you're in real life.
I know, because my mouth is like. No, there was a lot of like day numbers in there, and that's why Chloe was like, oh, da, 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 da.
I was creeping over Rachel's shoulder.
But he did try to contact the bank a lot to be like, hey, I don't actually have this money. And they were like, well then.
Sir, it says you do.
It's all yours.
So,
Patrick, just be happy, you know?
Yeah.
That's there's also like, what was it? A friend of mine once got like a free, some error at like Verizon or Spectrum or some like cable company was like, just so you know, like, you like with your job or something, you can actually get a monthly thing from, instead of $200 a month, it's down to like $20 a month. And they're like, great. And they just said yes. And then 3 months later, they came back and they go, actually, that was an error. We made a mistake. You don't get that. So can you give us back that money? And they were like, no. They're like, okay. That's to say no.
See, I have this fear because I'm going to tell a secret. I recently went from full-time to part-time at work since I started school again. And because of that, I lost my benefits. And one of my benefits was getting $100 in Seamless credit every week. And my Seamless account keeps getting credited every single week. And I'm like, I'm just going to keep doing it until someone... Yeah. It's out of my account, but my biggest fear is that they're going to be like, Rachel, you've spent like 4 months, whatever, of free Seamless money. Please give me thousands of dollars back. But I feel like they won't do that.
Just, no, they're getting me too embarrassed that they made a mistake.
Yeah.
So at that point, you'd be like, well, I thought that was a benefit. You have to play dumb. But
yeah.
I thought that was just still a benefit I got.
Be like, I just kept purchasing Seamless and it just like automatically.
You just have to play dumb and then not record it on the podcast.
Yeah. It's okay. Definitely nobody at my work is listening to this.
Honestly, though, I don't know. Like sometimes I would order like a Seamless and then it turned out to be like an old credit card and I never checked what it was.
Oh, same.
Like, so I'm sure you could be like, well, I didn't check. I just ordered it.
I'm so sorry. I just was ordering as I regularly do.
Do you want me to make you dinner?
I'll cook you meals. Yeah. I love it. All right. How hot was that fact? Patrick with his money.
Rachel, that fact is as hot as when as a child you managed to get all the like fun collectible free things from the bank, like the piggy banks and stuff like that. And you're like, you did it.
My dad would go to like conferences for work and I'd be like, what freebies did you bring me back? I'd be like, what are the good? He'd be like, you want to look at my junk? And I'd be like, you mean your treasures? Yes.
Ooh, a hand soap from the hotel room.
My dad has kept every soap actually like in their guest bedroom. They donate it periodically too, but in their guest bedroom, they have a bag of just endless shampoos, conditioners, that's soaps. Beautiful. It's great.
Yeah.
Rachel, that fact was as hot as the San Francisco comedy scene circa 2003, super sex positive, super sexy, super hot, yes. Constantly.
I wish. Yeah. I could have been there.
Mm-hmm. Rach, your fact is as hot as the lectures and the motivational talks Patrick is giving, creating just a little army of accidental scammers. And I hope they are scamming banks. And not even a scam, just testing banks all over the country.
He tried to say, this happened. And they went,
I hope he's teaching others to just accidents.
I hope he's teaching others accidents. Famously and intentional. Thank you so much.
Rachel, your fact was as hot as me in the audience of his comedy show. And he goes, and that's why it's called... Me one, bank zero, and me standing up and screaming, it should be called checks mix up.
Oh, that's good.
Sponsored by checks mix.
Oh, I got another one.
Right, yeah.
That fact was as hot as a bank just setting fire to $95,933.38.
Yes.
Lighting it up.
That's hot. I got another one. Rachel, that fact is as hot as a bank setting 95,000 whatever dollars on fire by sticking it into a uterus of a cat. Famously 900 degrees. Thank you so much.
Famously.
Well, Drew.
Rachel, I got another one. Rachel, that fact is as hot as the cast of Rent on like a Saturday when they like burn like 5,000, but like they have to do it twice because it's a Saturday, so there's a matinee performance. And then they burn it.
That was good, Shem.
Great.
Thank you.
Now, Drew, it is the time where you get to pick the hottest fact of the episode. Ooh. You can pick your own fact.
Which honestly,
that was a really
hot fact.
We don't have to fucking recap. We know who
won. We will recap just as a little reminder. Hello.
Pun competition.
Oh, that's good.
When you hold in the fart, you expel it from your mouth.
No, that was a fact from earlier.
I know it was a fact from earlier, but Shannon denied it.
Shannon did not like it.
No, mine was the 9/11 building.
For context, Shem's fact was that if you hold in too many farts, it like absorbs through your body and you will eventually expel it through your mouth.
You just breathe.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Sounds like whatever.
I know. Thank you. That's the appropriate response.
The teenage. Teenage boy equivalent to an old wives' tale is like what that sounds like it would be.
Next time Kara's like, hey, please stop too, and I'll be like, if I hold it in, it's coming out in my kisses. So sorry. You know too much about my home.
Okay. My fact was the first rocking chair had ice skates, and allegedly Benjamin Franklin made it, but he didn't.
And then mine was oopsie money bank. But of course we had mood ring cats. Mm-hmm. Sally Fields.
Yeah.
Comma.
Well, I was going to say the hottest one. If they had actually built the building, I was going to say the 9/11 building. But because they never actually built it, I can't pick it. Because if they had built it, it would have been so funny. It would have been so funny.
Also imagine like having to take it down to be like, we have to fix this.
Uh-oh. Shoot.
Yeah.
I imagine him finishing it, sitting down and going, No. But because that one is out of the running, I think I have to go with honestly the bank error in your favor, the monopoly. I think it is like I think that's crazy. And now I want that to happen to me.
I know. I want it to happen to everyone.
I just imagine him being like a real goofy dude, being like, shit.
Yeah. I remember once I vaguely scammed a bank out of $300. And I didn't even scam them. I just used something that they were offering as a plus to sign up. Well, I just understood that way to.
You like made the benefit work. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, wow, you did a very good job at that. And that was only $300. If I could have done that with any commas, I would be ecstatic.
Okay, banks minus two, the people two.
Yes. Drew, if people are like, well, we want to hear how he defrauds banks in the future, I'm joking, or to virtually cheer you on the marathon, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at my name, which is spelled D-R-U. It's my name is misspelled. Drew Johnston at Twitter. And that's, I think, my Instagram, because there's no other. The only other Drew Johnston with my name, I think, is a preacher in Iowa.
So you should be able to tell right away if you're in the wrong place.
They've written a lot of like theology books, and I write fart jokes.
Don't keep those fart jokes in. You gotta get them out.
But our Drew is notably less sex positive than the other priest.
So if you see anything sex, get out.
Sex is bad. I've often said that.
That's why I think to Drew. Yeah. I'm like, that guy hates it.
Loves parts.
It's not specific
sex.
Things. It's not kink. I never kink shame.
Just the general concept.
In general, it's bad. When a friend of mine has a baby, I say, I know how you made that, and I don't like it.
I don't. Personally, not a fan.
I hate to do this, but you wrote my favorite sketch about sex, the school one. And it's just so funny to me. It was like a bunch of kids in the sex ed class, and the teacher's explaining how sex ed works, and one puts a hand up and goes, when am I ever going to use this? Oh my God. Truly like, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I broke my pencil in half really, that day.
I like to hear that people like that one, because I actually was out of town during that show. So I had to text people. I don't even remember where I was, but I had to text people and be like, how'd the sketch go? People were like, it went well.
It went down in infamy.
Thank you so much coming on the podcast today. We are Trash, and as always, we are Trash Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. The podcast is part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Drew, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. It's so great to see you.
And for now, goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.